Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast, where you will get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside of legal nurse consulting. They will share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with 30 years experience. So, join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's Pat.
Hi, this is Pat Iyer with Legal Nurse Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about something that affects injured plaintiffs, and that is pulling apart that fine aspect of injuries and treatment after some type of a trauma. I brought on the show Kelly Williams, who will be speaking with us about some of the aspects of corrective exercise. Kelly and I connected through another person on my show who thought that she would be just the right person to give us some insight on the treatment and some of the injuries that we are seeing in medical records. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you so much for having me.
I know that when we talked about the show, we've decided that we would focus on corrective exercise. I know that that's going to be a new term to some of the legal nurse consultants who are listening to the show. Can you give us some insight on what that means?
Absolutely. So my job is a corrective exercise specialist, and that's really in the realm of fitness and exercise. So a lot of people kind of confuse corrective exercise with physical therapy, but it's not a type of therapy. So really, if you break down corrective exercise, if you break it down into a nutshell, it's really using exercise to help improve your posture and help improve your movement. And that the focus is really on how you move and how you align or you posture when you move. And this is to really help people treat a lot of chronic tightness and discomfort. So it's not really corrective in the sense that we're correcting, you know, an injury of, you know, a very traumatic injury in that sense. It's not corrective in the sense that I'm telling you to pull your shoulders back and stand up straight. It's really looking at how you move and how you use your body when you're moving, trying to correct your movement pattern. Corrective exercise is more of an exercise strategy than it is a type of exercise. So with yoga or Pilates, you'll have a type of exercise. You're expecting to do stretches. You're expecting to do core work that are almost kind of branded with those types of exercises. But corrective exercise is really going to be looking for the right exercise for you to improve your movement and your posture so you have less tightness when you're moving.
I can think about some occupations where that type of approach would be extremely useful. Mm-hmm. Sometimes legal nurse consultants are involved in workers' compensation cases where people have to perform those same movements over and over again. What immediately comes to my mind is the long-distance truck drivers who sit for hours and hours and hours at a time and end up with neck and back problems. And then they get to their destination and they have to unload heavy boxes and sleep in less than comfortable conditions and then get back on the road the next day and start the whole process over again.
Yes.
Have you encountered those types of occupational problems in your work with patients?
Absolutely. So I spent about 3 years working with employees of a distribution warehouse. Very similar. The truck drivers also came in and out of there as well. And so it's kind of that twofold when we're talking about, you know, it's how they're moving in their everyday, but also how their posture is. So let me kind of give you an example with those truck drivers. So when a truck driver is working, right, they're sitting, like you said, they're in the truck most of the time. So that's looking really at their posture. How are they seated? And, you know, what's the ergonomics of their seat? How are they positioning or posturing themselves? So let's say that, you know, like a lot of us, we have that forward rounded posture. That's going to like put that strain on the neck and put that strain on the back. Now, when you get out of your truck, because you've been sitting for long hours and you have that forward or rounded posture, now you're going to be moving, right? Getting your truck ready, you know, opening everything. And now you're moving in a poor posture. So that definitely creates and cycles a lot of, you know, shoulder, neck, back issues that tend to become chronic. But there's kind of that balance of, Is it because, you know, you have something going on, or is it because you're doing the same thing? Corrective exercise really looks at your habits, your daily movement and posture habits. So yes, people that do repetitive motions all the time and they're not doing them in an optimal posture or alignment, as I see a lot of those people for clients and coming back again and again until we can kind of fix that. So absolutely.
I think for us as legal nurse consultants, we spend a lot of time in front of computers. We spend a lot of time with our hands on the keyboard or on the mouse. Can you give us any suggestions about what we might be thinking about for ourselves in terms of corrective exercises?
Absolutely, because I mean, outside of people that are active, right? It's also about people that are very inactive. I have a lot of clients that come from that too. They're like, man, I don't do anything. Like, legal, you know, I just sit at my desk all day. I'm not active. I don't know why I should have all these aches and pains. So there's a few things that you can do. And one of the biggest things, since we're really talking about your movement patterns, is to move more frequently. I know that we can get stuck into a deadline or a project and we just want to get focused and just get it done. But if we're constantly sitting there, moving every 30 minutes, every hour, helps kind of break up any of that tension or maybe any of that poor posture that we've developed during that time. So, but if you're mousing, a few things that you can do, and this is becoming a lot more easy. When I started this, it wasn't as easy for people to get more of this variety, but you could try standing if you have a standing desk. You could try sitting if you've been up on your feet all day. Sometimes resting, the opposite of that, can be helpful. There's also a lot of ergonomic tools that help put your wrist, you know, like for a mouse resting pad, into the right position. You can even adjust the mouse. The mouses even come with a little bit more contour to help with your wrist, because everybody's designed biologically, as I'm sure you know, different. Just a little bit. We have the things, you know, within our body that should be working, but we all have our own kind of form, you know, unique form to us. So you really have to find the tools that contour to that form, but you also have to be, you know, cognizant of how you're moving with it. So if you're very sedentary, moving more often helps kind of reset and realign everything. But if you're up all the time and you're moving, sometimes being able to sit down, reset helps as well. So it's finding that balance.
I know that my Fitbit gives me a little buzz if it believes that I've been sitting too long.
Yes, That's a good little tool. I also have clients sometimes set reminders on their phones. So that's another good one, because I know we can get tunnel vision into something. So every 30, 45, or 60 minutes, depending on what they're doing, a little buzzer goes off to remind them to get up for at least 5 minutes and walk around and reset. So always the little reminders are great.
I recently discovered when I got a new iPhone that you can change the voice of Siri. And I have an Irish female who is extremely polite and delightful.
Oh, wonderful.
Say, hey, Siri, remind me to get up in 30 minutes. And she would say, why, certainly, Pat, which I can't do with an Irish accent. But there's all kinds of accents you can get now.
And it just speaks to how fun it can be, too, to kind of set the reminders. I've heard Siri as an Australian male voice before as well. And that, it kind of startles you at first if you're not expecting it.
I know. My husband is from India. I was thinking about changing the voice to an Indian male one day when he wasn't looking. But then I thought, you know, he might not appreciate that if he was suddenly getting an Indian male voice out of his phone. What is your opinion about the standing desks, which you mentioned just before, in terms of their comfort level?
So I've seen, just like anything else, right? So a standing desk is a tool. And it, you know, it's a tool to help you kind of get the most out of your posture and your movement. And just like any other tool, maybe like a foam roller or even weights or anything like that, when it comes to, you know, kind of fitness and overall health, you can overdo it. So a great example of that is I had a runner that used the standing. He was super excited about the standing desk, and he used the standing desk, you know, I'm up, I'm not sedentary, I'm more active. But he used it for pretty much the entire day, so almost like a 6-hour day. And then he went for a run, and he instantly pulled a hamstring. So there is a balance. I think that they are great as long as they're used properly. And there's a lot of different variations of it. So if you have the standing desk where you can literally you know, move it up and move it back down. That helps you have a few more, you know, options in your day. If you just have a tall standing desk, the one that doesn't move, you need to make sure that you have a chair that fits so you can sit and rest, because you don't want to be overusing your lower body as well. Because when we're standing for long periods of time, that can be just as problematic as if we're sitting for long periods of time. I mean, think about the last time you stood in line for something for a very long period of time. You know, you start to feel in your back sometimes, depending on what you're doing with your posture. And so they are a great way to kind of break up the stiffness and change your posture throughout the day. But you need to kind of find that balance, like we were talking about, of being able to sit, stand, and also move throughout your day too.
And nurses come from a very active profession. Now, part of us, if we're talking about legal nurse consultants, are sitting, but some legal nurse consultants also mix in a clinical role with a desk role, depending on whether they're part-time or full-time in their business. Mm-hmm. So if they're clinical, they could be at the other opposite of the spectrum of being on their feet for 12 hours at a time, maybe getting breaks if they're lucky, mm-hmm. but extremely active in bursts of 12 hours, and then they might be off for a couple of days, or they might work three 12-hour shifts in a row and then be off for four or five. Do you have any advice for somebody who is constantly exerting effort and probably putting way more than 10,000 steps on their body a day?
I've seen it. I've had clients over the years that have been nurses and worked in the medical field, and I have seen that. Honestly, the best, because typically, right, a lot of people are on the other side of that spectrum. They're sitting too much. They're very sedentary, and not necessarily just at work, but we sit when we drive. We sit when we, you know, eat. We sit when we watch TV. It's not always just within your work. It's also within your everyday. So when I'm talking about your habits and your movement, I'm really talking about the entire day. So when you have somebody on that other end that we're talking about with the nurses here, and you're go, 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 you know, 12 hours a day, the best thing that I can say for you is to make sure you take time to pause and stretch throughout that day. Because I know that when you're go, 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 because I have, you know, family members that are nurses as well, you're in the job, right? You're in your job, you're in the moment, you're in the duty that you're doing. And there's very little cognizant awareness of what's going on with your body. And that's okay. I mean, sometimes we have to be, especially in that profession, we have to be in that mindset. But being able to stop throughout that day, which I know is still difficult, but I'm not saying like take a 30-minute stretch break in the break room. It's more of like when you go to refill your water bottle, take 2 minutes to check in with yourself. Are you feeling neck tension? Are you feeling low back tension? You know, are you feeling wrist or elbow tension? Take a minute to check in with yourself. And what I call self-care stretches, you know, that area is feeling tense, try to work it out. Try to stretch it out just a little bit and find that reset for you before you get back into it for the next few hours. So when you're big, go, 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 12 hours, when you get home, you need to be sedentary for that reset. So the best time to really pay attention to what you're doing and what you need is when you're in that go, 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 which I know is one more thing for people to think about, but it's going to help them not feel the repercussions of it later, if that makes mm-hmm. sense.
And I'm thinking of yet another variation, which is people in clinical roles who spend a lot of their time hunched over. I'm thinking about nurse anesthetists, for example, who are bending over, or the nurses who work in the neonatal intensive care unit who are bending over these tiny infants in their beds or their incubators. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What thoughts do you have for people who are hunched over most of the day, and may, especially for the nurse anesthetists who are a population who cannot necessarily get up and leave. You know, they have to be in that spot for the duration of the surgery, unless they're being relieved for a lunch break, for example.
So there's two ways to think about that. And one would be in the moment, right? In the action. So people that do a lot of, like you said, movement where they're hunching over, it's really important that these people practice what we call a hip hinge. And that's not a corrective exercise term. That's just a fitness term. And that really means where you're actually bending from your hips versus from your spine. Because typically when we're doing a forward bending motion or that hunching motion that you're talking about, we should be bending through the hips, which means that the hips are actually rotating over the top of your femur, over your leg bones, to help you get that forward motion. And your hips are strong, right? They're almost the center of your gravity, you know, so it's gonna help you kind of not use all your upper back muscles when you're doing it. So being able to move in that motion with a hip hinge is going to help people feel better while they're doing it in their job versus the hunch. Because when we're talking about the hunch, you know, I think people tend to think about like almost like a hunchback, right? Like really rounding up between the shoulder blades. And that's an okay posture, but if you're repetitively doing it, that part of the spine really isn't designed to be there. I mean, we're designed to be bending from those hips. So being able to learn and practice a hip hinge when you're doing it is important in the moment. However, when you're off duty, it would be very important to be very cognizant that you probably have spent a lot of time doing this. And so I would recommend if these are people that were my clients, that they spend their self-care time doing more of the opposite. So more of a chest opener, right? So being able to stretch this and kind of counter what they've been doing all day. And this doesn't mean you have to do, you know, a 1 hour kind of chest opening type of stretch. It's literally self-care, takes about 10 minutes. When you get home, maybe after you shower, maybe if you're off the next day, spend about 10 minutes opening all of this and trying to bring that spine back up instead of, you know, being in that forward rounded motion. So it's twofold. Practicing the right movement pattern while you're there as best you can, and then doing targeted self-care to help kind of counter that when you're off as well.
I've heard the term balanced exercises. Can you give us some insight as to what that means and how we can apply that?
So balanced in the sense of your actual working on your balance, or are you talking about imbalances?
I think probably imbalances.
Okay. So muscular imbalances in the sense of corrective exercise, again, not necessarily therapy of an injury, but corrective exercise is looking at how your muscles work together. So, you know, within the body, and I'm sure we all know this, when one muscle is working, one muscle is stabilizing, and they're a group. Sometimes there's a group of muscles that are working together. And so they should be working together equally when you're doing your movement and your action, whether it's exercising or you're at work or you're moving throughout your day. When one muscle in that team, right, as we'll call it a team, when one muscle in that team gets really weak, and the other one gets really tight, that starts to cause an imbalance in your movement pattern. Now, why that happens can vary. That can be your daily habits. Like you're constantly using one of those muscles and you're not balancing out the other one, using the other one. It can also be from things like an injury, you know, or from either in the past or a current injury where you literally start to what we call baby, right? Stop using one to kind of decrease the pain and the stiffness, and then the other one gets overdeveloped. So there's a few reasons as how they can develop. But you know, when we're really focused on trying to find the imbalances, it's more of really looking at how you move. So people are like, well, how do I know if I have an imbalance? And it's not necessarily that you're doing, you know, self-checks on yourself. It's more of how do you feel when you move? Because you can feel if somebody starts to bring their arm up overhead and they start to feel pulling down here, right, and tightness up here, you're feeling where that is. So it's not necessarily like how do you find it? It would be more of how do you feel and then how do you adapt to it? Does that make sense, Pat?
It does. And I think that something that we run into frequently as legal nurse consultants is people who have an injury in one leg or they have a knee replacement, a very common scenario. The left knee is operated on, the patient puts more weight on the right leg, and then the right leg starts hurting, and then the patient is unhappy because the operative knee is fine, but the other knee is now giving this individual a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. It happens more frequently than I think of. In fact, our next door neighbor, who is in the house next to where I'm recording this podcast right now, mm-hmm. had a right knee replacement, and her left leg is horrible, and she's regretting the fact that she had surgery because she's now dealing with a problem that she didn't have before.
Yes. And that problem can grow it can start in the opposite knee, but then the longer it goes, it can spread down to the foot and ankle and up into the back as well. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So the fact that, so let's use your neighbor as an example. The fact that she has that awareness of it is great. It's just being able to also understand, you know, how to balance that back out. So she has an imbalance. How do you balance it back out? And that's kind of where I think a lot of people get stuck or get lost over the years, because mm-hmm. I do have a lot of clients that come to me that had something very similar. They had a knee replacement, a hip replacement surgery. They got out of PT. They didn't quite feel right. The other side started hurting more. And now 5 years later or 10 years later, you know, they've got opposite, you know, side back issues, and it's just kind of spreading, and they're trying to figure out how to stop it. So absolutely. We see it a lot. I see it a lot too.
And I'm assuming that there are some specific exercises that you share with people to address this.
Yeah. And it really depends on what it is, because it's not just about the muscular imbalance. It's also about your body's, you know, your body's ability to be mobile. So let's go back and use the shoulder exercise that we were talking about. So I've got stiffness in my shoulder, and as I'm taking my arm up, I can feel pulling on the top of my shoulder, and I can feel pulling on the bottom of my armpit here, right? So I can feel this, but why? How am I moving? Because I can tell you, we need to lengthen these muscles down here. We need to lengthen these muscles up here. So stretch or release. And then we need to strengthen these muscles. But if you still don't have the mobility, right? If you still don't have the motion of how to move right, then that tightness can come right back. So their proprioception becomes a big part of, you know, looking at your imbalances and being able to overcome them is making that connection as to how am I moving? And even if I have the knowledge to move correctly with the right mm-hmm. posture, do I have that flexibility in the muscles to do it? So it's a balance of with the shoulder stretching. I always say my sessions always come, we lengthen first. We stretch the muscles that are over tight, then we strengthen the ones that need to be balanced out on the other side of those tight muscles. We lengthen, we strengthen, and then we do functional training. So then after we get all of that worked out, then we practice the correct movement. Because when you get into the right alignment and you start moving and using the right muscles, that dissipates a lot of tension on it by itself. By just putting the body back into its right posture and using the right muscles. It doesn't have to work as hard to do the same movement.
Now, I know you've probably been involved in taking care of patients where something is going on where you say, I don't think that corrective exercises are the solution. Maybe you need to speak to a physician or be examined by a nurse practitioner. Can you give us some guidance on when you cross that line from saying this is something that I can address versus this is something that I have to refer?
Absolutely. So if somebody has experienced a trauma, right? So a car accident, a fall, or something like that, right before they're coming to me with these issues, that's definitely, for me, you know, a signal that they need to go get, you know, or have a medical assessment of what's going on. Because even if it was just a fender bender, I see this a lot too. People will come in with, you know, oh, it's just a fender bender, but man, you know, my neck's really bugging me. It you know, I think people underestimate, you know, trauma or any type of injuries, even simple falls, and how sometimes, unfortunately, you know, how damaging they can be. I've had several of those myself, little bumps here, you know, little falls here that have actually become something, you know, I had to deal with much longer after that. So if they've experienced something, mm-hmm. an accident or a trauma right before they're having all of this, that's definitely something where I say, I think you need to go, you know, have a physician look at you, or a chiropractor or somebody in the medical field before we do anything. The other thing is when somebody comes to me in a lot of pain. So there's a difference between feeling discomfort and feeling a lot of pain. And depending on how they might describe that pain, you know, it might sound more like it's nerve pain. If they've got fire, you know, it feels like fire, or they have shooting or radiating pain. That's definitely something that's outside of that corrective exercise, because when I'm talking about your posture and alignment, I'm definitely not talking about moving your bones like a chiropractor or anything like that. It's more of being able to have the muscular ability to lift upright. So if somebody's feeling a lot of pain, that's not necessarily something that we want to start with corrective exercise. There needs to be pain management and looking into what's causing that before we look into how we change our movement. So those would be the two things. Is have you gone through something very acute, very recent, that's been traumatic, even if you think it's not? And then how much, what's your level of pain? That's one of the first questions I ask people. What's your level of discomfort or pain? And then that can kind of guide me as to whether they need to go see somebody else or if we can continue forward.
I have a perfect example of that. My father had back pain and was seeing a chiropractor for about a week. And then one day he woke up and he couldn't move his legs and he couldn't urinate. And he called the chiropractor, and the chiropractor said, oh, that's beyond what I can treat, and sent him to the hospital, where it turned out my father had a spinal cord tumor that was metastatic from some other part of his body. And he ended up dying 5 weeks later. Now, if that chiropractor had continued to treat him, it wouldn't have changed the outcome, but it certainly would have confused trying to understand why he went from back pain to being paralyzed.
That's a really powerful story. And thank you for sharing. And I'm sorry for the loss. That might have been a while ago, but I can definitely relate. Well, so that's a great professional on the chiropractor's part. Right, of really recognizing where, you know, our services stop and new ones need to pick up, and that's a great, you know, collective service there. So
yes. What type of training do you have in order to work in the field that you are in right now?
So the fitness field, as I'm sure I think a lot of people talk about, is very varied. And so When you get a degree in kinesiology, or you get a degree in exercise physiology, or even if you get a personal training certification or any of that, that is not really going to give you a corrective exercise focus. And that's okay. I think it's like that in any industry, right? So, you know, as a nurse, you don't come into the field, you know, you kind of come in as kind of general, and then you start to kind of, you know, move your way into what you're doing. So when you first leave nursing school and start your first job, you're not necessarily, you know, being a nurse in the NICU or anything like that. So it's, you kind of have to hone your craft. So corrective exercise, you need a background in something that's going to have, you know, kinesiology. And so that really can be, you know, kinesiology, exercise physiology, or even a personal training or sports medicine degree or any of that. But then the corrective exercise really comes in specializing. So as of right now, there are certifications, a few throughout the United States, that really focus in and hone on this. Because, you know, if you were to go to a sports medicine professional, they're not necessarily going to have the corrective exercise knowledge. If you go to an Olympic weightlifter coach, they're not going to have that corrective exercise knowledge. Not that we don't all have knowledge of the body and how it works. It's more of what your, again, what your training, or I should say the person that's moving, what their training strategy is. An Olympic lifter is going to have a very stylized type of training for that type. A CrossFit person is going to be very focused on a different type of movement. And so it's not that somebody's right or wrong, that your yoga instructor, which doesn't understand corrective exercise, but they understand a lot of other great things in yoga. So as of right now, with corrective exercise, that comes through institutes and certifications through a few of the national ones here in the United States. There's no degree in corrective exercise. Not yet. Otherwise, I would have it.
Fabulous. I know that the people who are listening to this program will want to know more about the services that you offer, Kelly. Can you share that information?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am based out of Phoenix, Arizona, and I see clients in my office in central downtown Phoenix, but I also have online options as well. So my business is called Restorative Fitness, And if you're interested in knowing more about that, my website is restorativefitnessaz.com, and that's AZ for Arizona. But my social media handles are for Instagram and also Facebook are called The Right Exercise For You. That's where you can find me on those. And I do a lot of videos, a lot of posting for clients on there to give them ideas and keep them going as well.
We all need help keeping going, Kelly.
Yes, I know. Even I do.
Valuable service. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences and expertise and tips. And you're making me be aware of the fact that I need to sit up straighter and not be hunched over my computer so much and pay attention to the reminders to get up and move every 30 to 60 minutes, walk around the house, stretch, bend over, maybe pick some things up and straighten them up and make use of your time on your feet so that you don't get frozen into one spot.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. You've made me also aware of the importance, if you've got a very physically active job, of taking the time to stretch and to make sure that you are taking care of your own body so that you don't go home from a busy clinical job all tight and with muscles that are aching. And I think you've also stressed for us, Kelly, that there are certain occupations that require movements that put our body at higher risk for fatigue, for muscle fatigue and injuries if we're not paying attention to how we're sitting and moving.
Absolutely, yes.
And I liked your emphasis on, like for all professions, knowing what are your limitations and when you need to pass on to somebody with a higher level of skill, the questions or recommendations that you have. This is something that we get involved in a completely different context, Kelly, when we work on medical malpractice cases, because when people don't get that help, when they've got questions, that can end up with patient injury. And then we get involved in helping attorneys understand, when did that person not use critical thinking and analytical skills to figure out something's going on here? I don't know what it is, but I need to bring in another mind to take a look at the situation.
Mm-hmm. And teamwork is vital in this industry. Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Teamwork, I think, is essential everywhere, Kelly.
I'm with you, Pat, 100%.
Well, thank you so much, Kelly, for being a guest on Legal Nurse Podcast. Thank you to you who's listening to this program on our podcast, or you can also watch it by going to the YouTube channel for Legal Nurse Podcast. Be sure to come back next week. We'll have another guest, another interview, and check out all of the shows that are on my website at podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. If you would like to take advantage of all the other interviews that we've completed. Thank you so much for being part of this community.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at LNCAcademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Join our community to get notified of each new episode and to receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. We appreciate you and your interest.